And we'll be taking our Bibles this morning back to the book of Proverbs and chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I love that song, Learning to Lean, because it's a simple song and it reminds us the Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. Never meant to be lived without Christ. In fact, it's impossible to live the Christian life without Christ, without that dependence upon Christ. God's plan for our life is not to live independently, but rather in dependence on Christ, that together we would live the Christ life, His power. That's why when a person gets saved, when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell with us. That's a blessing. It really is. He's there. He's called the Comforter. He's our teacher. He's our guide. And the Bible instructs us to listen and to learn from the Holy Spirit, who guides us through the Word of God and guides us in the inner man. And so I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is that faithful friend, faithful companion. And we need to depend on Him. That is for sure. Proverbs chapter 4, as we talk about heart health, spiritual heart health, of course, physical heart health, a good thing too, which is important in a certain sense, to be healthy and take care of the temple God's given us, that we might be a useful vessel. So through a good diet and exercise and those kinds of things, we can be healthier. But, God wants us to be spiritually healthy. He wants us to have internal health. And so God talks to us about our heart, not the heart that pumps the blood, but rather the inside of us spiritually, the seat of our emotions, the seat of our desires, our will. That is a place that God needs to dwell. It's a place where God needs to rule. We need to yield our heart to the Lord. We need to love God with our heart. And we need to obey God from the heart. All of those things come from the inner man. And God is very concerned about our heart. In fact, he's less concerned about the exterior than he is about the heart. Because in fact, Jesus said that if things are right on the inside, it'll show on the outside, right? If things are wrong on the inside, we can fake it for a while, but eventually it's going to show itself, especially in times of pressure and distress. Let's go here to Proverbs 4, where we find some encouragement for a son. Verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words." In other words, listen up, pay attention to what I've been teaching you. "Attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes." Now notice what it says in verse 21. Keep them. What? Keep what? Well, his instructions, the words that he's taught. Keep them in the midst of thine what? Heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And so the father here really wants us to take his instructions and let it sink down into the inner man and affect us, right? In the inside, in our emotions, in our will, in our desires, in our love, that our heart would listen up to his instructions. Verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." Now, verse 23 is the key verse I want you to notice here. It says, "Keep thy heart." Keep thy heart. The idea of keep is to guard or to protect. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What's that saying? That's saying this is really important. This is something that we need to give special attention to. Guarding our heart. And again, not the physical organ that pumps our blood, but rather the inside of you, the real you, the thing that's affected when you go through this life and what you take into your life through your ears, through your eyes, what you fill your life with can affect the health of your heart. If you're regularly having a diet of edifying things, things that are right, pure, and lovely, and God-honoring, and certainly including His holy word, it's going to help your inner man to be healthier. It's going to help you to have a right disposition on the inside. The same is true as well. If we eat trash and junk food of this world, filling our minds with the corruption and filth on television and or whatever, there's many outlets for filth. If we fill our lives with that, it does affect our heart. It breaks down what otherwise may have been healthy. And so God says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So in other words, we need to get away from evil, from wicked things. We need to turn away and put them far from us. Avoid that contamination. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. In other words, we need to have focus on the right things. Let thy eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. You know, many times on a horse or something, they would put blinders on their eyes so that the horse was not distracted, but they could focus on what they needed to be focused on. And the Bible talks about that similar to us. Our eyes need to look right on, verse 25. Thine eyelids need to look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. In other words, we need to be intentional about the direction of our life. If we just go with the flow of where everyone's going, where the world is going, if we just watch whatever is available to watch, if we just listen to whatever is available to listen, and we have no discernment, no checks and balances, no wise caring and carefulness, God says it's going to damage you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to get you off track ultimately. So as we consider cultivating a tender heart for God, we talked last week about how we need to beware of spiritual heart trouble. We talked last week how the heart is prone to wandering. Prone to wandering. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Bible also says that God tries the heart. In fact, on the bulletin it has that very next verse, Jeremiah 17:10, a portion of it. And it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. And God does search us, and He does know us. And if there's anyone better fitted to help us have heart health, it's God. Because He knows what we need. And so as we think about having heart health and avoiding a wandering heart and avoiding a hardening heart, we need to be intentional about spiritual heart health. And so first of all, I would like to emphasize to you that you need to give your heart to the Lord unreservedly. Unreservedly. Because you in yourself are not capable of guiding your life in the right direction. Just like I just mentioned after that song, Learning to Lean on Jesus. Learning to lean, finding more power than I ever dreamed, learning to lean. Jesus described it in Matthew 11 like a yoke. And He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, the yoke. Uriah probably knows better than anybody here what a yoke is, hey? But you know what? A yoke connects two animals together so they can work together, so they can do more, so they can pull together. And you know, God is inviting us, Jesus Christ is inviting us to be yoked with him. He's saying, come on over. He says, let's work together. Let's live life together. And we can find the power to do what God asks of us only when we are yoked with Jesus. Only when we are resting in him, when we are finding our strength in him, when we are trusting in him. And so I encourage you to give your heart to the Lord unreservedly. If we're going to be intentional about spiritual heart health, it's going to take submission to God, giving our heart to God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 10, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Joshua said to the people that were gathered there, who many of them were getting involved in evil things, and he said these words. He says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a declaration a leader made there. Joshua said, hey, if you think it's bad to serve God, he said, then go serve someone else. You want to serve the idols your fathers followed? You want to do this? You want to do that? He said, now's your chance. But he said, I'll tell you what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You see, it starts, spiritual heart health starts with us coming to God and saying, oh Lord, here I am. I yield myself to you. You see, the biggest thing hindering us from knowing God more, from the biggest thing that hinders people from getting saved, it's us, it's ourselves. Our sin isn't the problem, because Christ will take care of that. He died on the cross to save us from our sin. But many times it's pride. It's our stubborn will. And God says, we need to yield ourselves to him unreservedly. You want God to work in your life? You want to see God's power in your life? It starts with submission. It starts with getting honest with God and just saying, Lord, I don't know how. I feel a little unwilling right now, but Lord, make me willing. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to love you with my whole heart. I give myself to you. If you hold back from God, you know what? We miss out. You will miss out. And so, trusting God with all our heart, giving ourselves to him, giving our heart to the Lord unreservedly is critical. Secondly, I want you to notice we need to guide our heart biblically. We need to guide our heart in the way biblically. Not only give ourselves unreservedly, but then we need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And biblically, we need to obey God. So first of all, it starts with submission. Spiritual heart health starts with submission, giving yourself to the Lord unreservedly. But secondly, it starts with guiding your heart in the way biblically. That's obedience. God's not looking for people who are just like, here I am, Lord, I'm just a mess. Take me the way I am, you know. I mean, I'm a basket case, you know, and I need you. God accepts people like that. But that's only step one. Step two is God says, all right, here's what I'd like you to do. Here's what I have for you. I want you to turn away from this evil. I want you to embrace this good. We see that instruction here in Proverbs 4, Would you notice Proverbs 23, verse 19? Let's skip over there to Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Proverbs 23, verse 19. The Bible says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise." And now would you read the last part of the verse? "And guide thine heart in the way." Guide thine heart in the way. The Bible tells parents to bring up their children in the way they should go, right? Well, God is telling us to guide our heart in the way, to love the right things. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is over here towards the end of the Bible. Colossians with a C. Colossians and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Noticing verse 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ," in other words, if you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus and you have that new life of Christ in you, "if ye then be risen with Christ," what's the next word? Seek. Seek. We need to seek the right things. If we're saved, God says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Next verse, verse 2. What's the first word in verse 2? Set. Set your affection. Affection is our love. And God says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You see, if we're saved, if we've trusted Christ, there's been an exchange that's taken place. He has taken our sin away. We are dead with Christ, and He's given us His new life. And this passage alludes to that here in verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Hey, we got great things coming. And the life of Christ in us is such an awesome potential for us to truly do the will of God. And notice God calls us here in verse 5. Notice what it says. "Mortify." That means put to death. Mortify means kill it. Put it to death. Verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection." Fornication, of course, is sexual sin, promiscuity. Uncleanness, well, that's we can pretty well understand how that would apply to a lot of things. Inordinate affection. Inordinate means inappropriate. Affection is love. So inappropriate loves, inappropriate desires. God says what? Kill them. Mortify them. They don't belong. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Concupiscence is a craving for what's forbidden. Isn't it amazing how the human flesh craves what we're told? Hey, don't touch that. Don't do that. Don't go there. You know, and we're like, I want to. That's what we want to do, right? That's sinful nature that craves that. And God says, put away evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is, what's the last word there? Idolatry. God says covetousness is idolatry. In other words, if we have such a strong desire for other things beside what should be for God, He says it's an idol and it needs to be put away. It needs to be mortified. "For which thing's sake," the Bible says, "the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, and we could even say male and female or whatever. Christ is all and in all, verse 12 says, put on. So there's some things that we need to put off. And there's things we need to put on. We're talking about spiritual heart health. We're talking about giving ourselves to the Lord unreservedly. But step two, walking in obedience, guiding our heart in the way biblically. God says in verse 2 here, to set our affection. To set our affection. There's things that don't belong that he says need to be mortified. They're corrupt. They're sinful. They're things we shouldn't be feeding. They're things we should be killing. Things we should, verse 8 says, put off. Put off. And verse 10 says, put on. Verse 12 says, put on. Put on, therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on what? Put on bowels of mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humbleness of mind. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Put on, verse 13, forbearing one another. Put on forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts. Let the peace of God. You want the peace in the inner man? Give your life to Christ and walk in obedience. Guide your heart in the way biblically. You see, we need God's help with this. In every stage of the Christian life, God is the center focus. To get saved, there is no sinner on planet Earth that has ever been able to save themselves. There's no sinner, and mind you, a sinner includes every one of us and every person who's ever been born, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, who was sinless and lived a sinless life. But you know what? Every one of us is a sinner. And not a one of us can save ourselves. It doesn't matter whether I'm better than the next guy. It doesn't matter if I've never killed anybody. It doesn't matter if I've never stolen anything. The fact of the matter, and likely I've had hatred, and likely I have taken things that weren't mine, and likely I've got a whole list of sins. But you know what? The fact of the matter is we cannot save ourselves, and no one is ever good enough to save themselves. Oftentimes religion, regular religion that is not according to the Bible, teaches people that they need to be good and hopefully, they'll be accepted by God. But the Bible teaches us that we are sinners and that we cannot save ourselves. I want to take you to a passage in Romans chapter 10 to show you that, to demonstrate that. Romans is just a little bit back from Colossians here, not too far away. Romans and chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and noticing verse 1. Paul expresses his sincere desire for his own people to be saved. And so he says in verse 1 of Romans 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Zeal is a passion. They have a zeal of God, but not according to, what's that last word? Knowledge. They're very zealous. They're very passionate. They're very religious. But he says it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to what is right, not according to truth. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish, next two words, their own. Going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Wow. What an amazing passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul, who was a Jewish man himself, and he expresses great concern for his own people, the people he grew up with, the people he worked with, the people that are his kinfolk, all right? He expresses great concern for his brethren, according to the flesh, his own family lineage. He expresses concern for them, he says, because they're not saved. He says they're very zealous for God. They're very religious, but not according to knowledge. And he says they are ignorant. I believe it's verse 3 here. He says, yeah, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, if I am depending on my works to save me, am I then truly also depending on God? You see, a split trust reveals a mistrust. It's either my works or it's God's works. It's either my righteousness or it's God's. But God tells me I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. And he tells us the only way of salvation is by dependence upon Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's by grace, by faith alone, in Christ alone. He died for our sins. He gave his life so that we could be saved. And so that's what Romans 10 here identifies as the problem with the Apostle Paul's family, extended family, the nation of Israel. And it says that they were depending on their own righteousness and did not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now notice verse 4. Verse 4 is key here. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Isn't that great? Christ is the end of the law. That doesn't mean God's okay now with killing and stealing and taking his name in vain. That's not what it's saying. But Christ is the completion of the law. He fulfilled the law. He is the righteous one. And that's how we can get righteousness. It's not by us trying to do good. It's not self-effort. Self-effort actually hinders people sometimes, many times. Self-effort hinders people from actually getting saved because they're self-dependence. I can do this. I'm going to be better. Man, I messed up again, but you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick to the stuff. Well, great. Determination is good, but you know what? We need to start with recognizing our sinful condition and yielding ourselves to God, because the only way to get saved is complete dependence on the Savior. And it's just simple. Jesus said you have to become like a little child to be saved, right? Because it's simple. It's dependence upon Jesus. And that's it. Does God want his children to walk in the right ways? Well, absolutely. And that's why we're talking about heart health. First, we get saved. Second, we need to keep our heart with all diligence. There's things that don't belong that we need to obey God and say, that doesn't belong in my life. And there's other things that God says, hey, I want you to put this on. This is what needs to be in your life. And so we need to guide our heart in the way biblically. Give your heart to the Lord unreservedly. Guide your heart in the way biblically. And thirdly and lastly, guard your heart from evil consistently. Guard your heart from evil. We read that verse in Proverbs 4, verse 23, which says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, if a good well is going to be serve people well for many years, if a good well is going to continue to give good water, it needs to be protected from contaminants that would violate, that would compromise that well. We need to obey God. The Bible says in Romans 13, verse 14, it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Think about it in a physical illustration. If you or I ate a diet of junk food 6 days a week, and one day we ate a healthy meal, what's going to be the health of our life? Is that one meal going to make us healthy? Or the predominant 6 meals of junk? You know, the 6 meals of junk are going to affect our health. The same is true. We can't just say, hey, I was in church on Sunday, but then we eat trash all week, fill our lives with the corruption of this world. That's why it's important for us to spend personal time with God daily, in His Word, in prayer, walking with God. So guard your heart from evil consistently. We need God to get saved. Without Him, we cannot. He is the Savior. We need God to live the Christian life. In my own strength, I cannot do it. I can't live for God. I can't be obedient. My heart's too stubborn. I grow weary. But with God, with a love for God, nurturing that, we can have a healthy relationship with God. We can have a healthy heart spiritually. And so, yielding our heart to God, walking in obedience, guarding our heart. We need to be intentional about spiritual heart health. Heavenly Father, thank You for these instructions. Lord, we know that there sure is a lot of pressure in this world, and there's a lot of things that grab our attention. And we know that our heart is prone to wander. It's prone to hardening, and it's prone to fainting. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to embrace Your word today, to say yes, Lord, and to yield ourselves to You. Whatever stage different ones here are at, Lord, help us to make the decision, to make the move that You want us to make, the change that needs to be in our life. Maybe there's something that we know doesn't belong. It needs to be mortified. It needs to be put off. And with Your help, we can see it put off. Lord, maybe there's someone here without Christ. Maybe they were trusting their own righteousness. I pray that You'd help them to recognize that they can't save themselves, but Jesus can, and Jesus will. He will save whosoever will come to Him. Lord, I pray that You'd just help that one or two to simply call on Jesus, to trust Him to save them, to claim the promise of Your word. Lord, I thank You for the life that You give. Lord, we pray that You'd continue to stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.